Welcome back to the Emily Show. Law Nerd, today I have a very special episode for you. And even though I'm not streaming this week, I wasn't going to leave you hanging without a podcast. So today I have questions about the music industry, new artists, AI and music, and Universal taking their music off of TikTok. And I'm so glad that I got to ask those questions to Sir Mix-a-Lot himself. Yes, yes, chat, start singing. Cue Baby Got Back. I am so excited to bring you this interview. He was incredibly generous with his time and working around my trial streaming schedule with the Hannah Gutierrez-Reed trial. And I appreciated it so much because we were definitely working off hours to get this podcast recorded and to you. He's not only an incredible artist, he has been through lawsuits over licensing and copyright. He knows the ins and outs of this industry and has some great stories about Prince. I am thrilled to bring you this conversation. Please show it some love in the YouTube comments, but also go show him some love on all of his social medias. You can find him at Sir Mix-a-Lot everywhere. All right, Law Nerds, I have questions. Let's get into it. Welcome to The Emily Show. I'm Emily D. Baker, the internet's go-to legal analyst and big fan of the cursy words. I've been a licensed attorney for over 17 years. I'm a former prosecutor, and I break down the legal side of pop culture and entertainment stories we can't stop talking about. We should just get into it. Let's go. Thank you to today's sponsor, Factor. I know many of you were watching the Hannah Gutierrez-Reed trial with me and saw me eating Factor for lunch. Why? Because they are fresh, never frozen, chef-created meals that are ready to go in 2 minutes, and they are delicious, they are filling, they are nutritious, and on days that I am on the go, I truly do not stop to make myself lunch. So Factor makes it easy for me, and I know it will make it easy for you too. The most challenging thing I run into with Factor, I'm going to give you the real tea, is that my husband steals my Factor meals and takes them to work all the time. So I go to look for my Factor meal, and Dr. B has taken it with him. So I guess my word of caution is order more than you think you need. But not only does Factor deliver no prep, no mess, ready to go meals to your door, you can also get things like pancakes and smoothies and the egg bites that I love. So whether you just need something because you work for home or you're looking for meals to take with you, or you just need something to make weeknights a little bit faster, Factor has options for you. Head to factormeals.com/EDB50 and use code EDB50 to get 50% off. That's code EDB50 at factormeals.com/EDB50. Let me know which of the over 35 options that you can pick from you choose for your first Factor meals. Let's get back to today's episode. Law Nerds, we have an I Have Questions episode of the podcast for you today with an incredibly special guest to talk about AI, music, the music industry, artists, and the fact that, you know, Universal Music pulled all of their artists from TikTok. What does that mean for the music industry? And how do the artists feel about it? And there is no more iconic artist than Sir Mix-a-Lot, who's joining me today to talk all things music. This man has been a music industry icon since the 90s. You lived through the music industry during the fights with Napster and now the fights with social. I can't wait to talk to you. Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here. I mean, I don't get to talk about, mostly all I talk about is butts for some reason. I don't know why. But
I also like to talk about butts. I think we definitely have that in common and I'm very excited, but you've been an artist for so long. I'm sure we will talk about butts at some point. It's going to come up, but I didn't do that on purpose. You have such a deep knowledge of this industry, and I know you don't get to talk about that a lot.
No, not really. You know, like I said, people want to talk about, so what's your favorite butt? I'm like, oh my goodness. At my age, long as mine's working, I'm happy.
I completely understand. I completely understand that. You're like, we're happy with a healthy one. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm very, very excited. You have worked with Universal Music Group. Has your music been pulled off of TikTok, to your knowledge?
I think so. I think a few of them have been yanked. And my manager thinks it's a lot of posturing. I'm not so sure. And it's kind of weird how a lot of the artists are taking TikTok side. And I'm like, you do realize that means you make less money per stream, you know? And they don't seem to care. They just want the access to the fans, I guess.
Let's back up and talk a little bit about streaming rights and then get into artists taking the side of TikTok and where you see this going. Because just for background, and I've covered this a little bit, Universal pulled all of their artists from TikTok when deal negotiations broke down. And not only are they asking for more payment for artists per stream, but they are also asking for some protections with regard to AI. And TikTok's response was Universal is hurting artists. But I think that if anyone's going to fight TikTok, Universal's really in the only position to do it. Yes. And so when they say they're going to pull their music, they have to.
Yep.
But when streaming started, you were in the music industry long before streaming and streaming rights ever started. How did that shift music when streaming started in the first place?
Initially, I thought it was going right to the bottom. And I wasn't being the old cranky man. If you remember when music started to hit the internet, it was random. I mean, people would snatch a Beatles song and just post it, you know, and it would stay there for a while. I mean, if it stayed there a month, that person had 2,000 followers, they were happy. So I think then it scared me. But then as they kind of reined it in a little bit and tamed some of it, but AI scares the hell out of me, honestly, in multiple ways, to be honest with you.
We're absolutely going to talk about AI with that, because with streaming, you started seeing the breakdowns of albums too. Albums weren't being listened to in their entirety or in order in the way that artists necessarily wanted them to. Songs were now getting piece by piece and put on, you know, Napster and LimeWire, and it might infect your whole computer. It might be a song. It might not be a song. You never really know. And we saw artists famously like Metallica going to Congress and fighting for the rights of artists with regard to streaming. And some people were like, oh, they're cranky old men shaking their fist. And then as we all grow up, we're like, oh no, if the rights of the artists aren't considered in how music's distributed, are we going to have musical artists at all? When we look at AI in the music industry, one of the things that artists value is name, image, and likeness. I would love it if you can give, I can give a breakdown, but I would love your perspective on a breakdown of name, image, and likeness and the rights of what an artist uniquely holds that's theirs, that is not just monetizable, but a recognizable part of their brand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I meet new artists that never use their name, they never use their stage name. And I'm like, dude, you have to use your stage name as much as possible when you're on stage. You know, yeah. Hi, I'm Tony. No, it doesn't work that way. But it's only because the gentleman I'm talking about, he's been raised in this climate. And he doesn't seem to think that likeness is very crucial. Just the song is. I was like, yeah, but the song has a lifespan. You know, your name. We still talk about Michael Jackson right now.
Absolutely.
You know? And there's a reason for that, because we knew who Michael Jackson was.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's not alone in that. Prince famously fought over his stage name with Sony Music and is not the only one that has fought for his stage name. I think he's one of the most recognizable examples of that, because he literally changed his stage name to a symbol because of a fight with his label and their ownership over his name.
I have a cool story about Prince, but I can't tell it all, but I can tell some of it. There was a Red Lobster that used to be on La Cienega and Wilshire way back in the day, Beverly Hills. And I was there with my manager. My manager went to the restroom. I'm getting up, putting my coat on, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I see this dude sitting in a chair and his feet weren't touching the ground. He was moving his feet, you know, like kind of like this. And he had these Roger Rabbit things on his jeans. But I couldn't see him.
Right.
I'm like, ooh. So I get up, and this is right around the time he had the slave tattoo on his face. And I was in the WIA system at the same time he was. And so I saw him walking through Warner Brothers. He did do that. A lot of people said that he didn't. Yes, he did.
Yes, he absolutely did.
Absolutely did.
We not all know what you're talking about, but during the time he was fighting with his label, go ahead and share just a little bit of that story before we circle back.
Yeah. He was right. I really didn't understand it initially. As I got a little bit further along in age, I started to understand my publishing rights, and I started to understand hey, what are these things called mechanicals? Did somebody work on my car? What does that mean? You know? And I started to realize that the reason I was making that money was because of a lawsuit that I had gone through, in which my lawyer made sure that everything I had created prior to that deal came with me, and my name and likeness had to come with me.
Which is,
and I'm like, well, how can somebody take my name and likeness? But they can.
Yes, they can.
They can. Yeah. But so anyway, back to Prince. I remember him walking through there. He had slave on his tattoo, and he was telling everybody, leave, leave, leave. I never will forget that. Just pointing at artists, just randomly walking by.
Wow. Just
leave. You know, but like I said, I understand it now in a big way. And I understood it that day I'm talking about in Beverly Hills. So what he said was,
Red Lobster, and you see somebody whose feet don't reach the ground in the chair at Red Lobster.
Yeah, yeah. He had Roger Rabbit pants on or whatever. And it was just, I'm not making fun of him because he's one of my favorite artists ever. So he stands up and he points out a song that I did that had something from him in it. So I'm like, oh shit. I'm thinking, oh no, I'm going to get sued by Prince. I'm like, you know, how do I
suck?
Yeah. I was like, you know, too much money for me. A big bank tip would take little bank for sure. But he asked me a question that was really, he said, I heard blank. And he said the song, I don't want to cause no problem. He said, I heard blank. And I said, yeah. He said, you own your publishing? I said, yeah. He said, don't worry about it.
Wow.
I never forgot that. He did it with more artists than me. I know a couple of more that he did that with. If you were adamant about owning your publishing, he would go easy on you. Now, that being said, I did have to pay for it eventually when he passed away, of course.
From the estate. I understand that. But it sounds like when he's asking if you own your publishing, can we just explain a little bit what the publishing rights are and the difference between you owning them versus a label owning them?
Yeah. I mean, in my deal, I want to say that I don't want to knock nobody, but in most deals, I'll just say this. In most deals prior to 2000 blank, insert last two digits somewhere.
Yeah.
When you wrote an album, yeah, it was you, but it wasn't yours.
Right.
It wasn't yours. Not any part of it was yours. The label would license stuff and not even tell you they were doing it. I mean, this is before I signed on with a major. I was on an independent label. And I was wondering why, when I'd see artists bigger than me when I was on tour, why I had more than they did. I didn't understand it. Being on an independent, I'm thinking, they're on a major. They should have way more money than me. And most of them did, but some of them did not. And they were like platinum acts that literally, you know, were driving, you know, Pintos back then. You know, and I was kind of shocked. And so when I went through my lawsuit, which was about, oddly enough, rights and publishing and, you know, and it was a hard breakup. But then I started to really take it serious. Sitting there in the courtroom, listening to people talk about you, you know, and
it's
about
experience.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, one guy's trying to prove how stupid I was. And the other guy's saying he was smart the whole time. He knew what he was getting into.
You know? Mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really, at that point, started to really pay attention to my value. I'm not saying that to be arrogant.
But not at all.
If an artist doesn't understand who he or she is, they're more likely to be taken.
I think that's true so much in the world of social media too, because when you do what I do, I set up a camera in my house. And a microphone. I don't need to ask anybody permission. I just get to build whatever I want to build. My podcast is independent. I'm not signed with any of the big podcast networks. And there's some things you don't get considered for, lists and whatever, that all the networks like pay each other for. And you're like,
yeah,
wow,
exactly.
That's so interesting how everybody's shaking each other's hand and all of this. But I get to just choose to do it. But when creators don't understand their value, and I find this with creators, they don't understand that till they start talking to other people. And it sounds like same with the music industry. You don't understand that your right to publish your music versus it being completely owned by a label is different. And that, I think, goes for name, owning your name, image, and likeness rights, including your stage name, but also owning those going forward into a world of AI so that somebody else can't license your likeness, your voice, your name to AI and just create whatever they want without you.
You have to own the writer's share, because when that Elvis Presley Baby Got Back came out, those were still my lyrics.
Yeah, because you wrote them.
So yeah, somebody got to pay me somewhere. So
I'm sure we'll figure it out, because I went looking for that video of Elvis Presley sings Baby Got Back on YouTube, and Universal with a swiftness has taken it down all off of YouTube, but the TikToks still exist, which is really a great example of this fight. YouTube has pulled down Elvis Presley singing Baby Got Back, but TikTok still has videos up of somebody somewhere with a computer creating off of your lyrics that ultimately, if somebody was going to license that for an advertisement, for music in a movie, you would get paid as the writer of the song in addition to other payments for publishing and recording and performance and stuff.
Yeah. And I try to be, honestly, when this kind of stuff happens, I try to be really flexible, because it's already out. You can't put it all back, right? The toothpaste does not go back in the tube.
I say that the shit's out of the horse all the time.
Yeah, I could say that. That's a good
toothpaste that is back in the tube is always the cleaner version of me saying another horse. But it is. It's out there.
Yeah, and it's like, so what do you do? Do you get mad, yank it down when people are clamoring to hear it? Or do you go ahead and let it go out there and you just make sure you get the money?
Right. And I think artists should be in a position to make that choice, because a lot of it is, I don't think all of it is malicious, truly. I think some of it is, this is a song that we love, that is, especially with Baby Got Back, that is nostalgic and we love it. And wouldn't it be funny if? And so it's done not quite in parody in like the copyright kind of way, but done in homage and done with fun. But at the same time, that is your music. People can't just use it. Those are your lyrics. People can't just use it.
I think the reason they could put it out is I think they could technically call it a cover. Technically, I think they can. It doesn't, musically it's not, but lyrically.
I wonder if courts have covered what a cover means if an artist is not singing it. Because it's not a live performance and it's not an artist singing it. Elvis Presley is not covering your song.
Nope. Technically, he's not.
If I'm the lawyer, I'm arguing this isn't a cover. This is more like a knockoff bag. This is counterfeit,
More than likely, it's probably some kid in the bedroom somewhere. I mean, I'm suing for a pair of tennis shoes and socks, I guess.
And that might not be a fight you want to fight, but clearly it's a fight Universal wants to fight with TikTok. Thank you to today's sponsor, Thrive Cosmetics. You know that I love my Brilliant Eye Brightener and Liquid Lash Extensions mascara from Thrive, but I'm thrilled with their new lip gloss. The new Sheer Strength Lip Plumping Gloss is absolutely incredible. I have Amani and Jessica with me. I'm wearing Jessica right now. It's such a beautiful sheer red. Reds don't always work on my skin because I'm so fair, and I really love this one, but they have 10 shades to choose from, 6 shines and 4 shimmers to either wear alone or layer. And what I love, it is not sticky on the lips. It feels great and it lasts. And don't we all love luscious lips without feeling like we've suffered bee sting therapy? Yes, we do. And this is ultra long lasting with 12 hours of hydration. And who doesn't need more hydration? We're lawnerds. We're hydrated. And with every purchase, Thrive Cosmetics gives back. That's why it's in their name. And right now you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/lawnerd. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/lawnerd for 20% off your first order. Let's get back to today's episode. Have you seen, or do you pay attention to discovery of your music or music in general on TikTok?
Not on TikTok, but I do pay a lot of attention to how my music is used. I'm pretty anal about it. I'm not one of these guys that goes, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. That just makes them want to do it more, right?
Right.
Want to make them want to mock it. But I've been pretty, like we just did two deals with the Pussycat Dolls. We know, first of all, the song they did was an old song I did called Swass. And Swass was, don't you wish your boyfriend was Swass like me, And it was cool. It was cool, man. I mean, a great producer, and those girls blew up. And I said, one thing I didn't want to do, I did not want to interrupt it. I was not interested in shutting them down. That thing blew up. And now it's been licensed for a cell phone deal and boom, boom, boom. So, you know, and then here we are, what, 15, 20 years later, and you're still benefiting from that decision. So a lot of people would have said, hell no, but it was a great song to me. Now, if it sucked, I would have said, hell no.
And I think that's what's so important for artists, to be in a position where you get to make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about the decision. I mean, it bothers me sometimes when artists, you can have the best manager in the world, but most managers aren't as musically inclined as you would be as an artist, right? So you probably want to, don't say, do whatever you want to do. You know, my manager and I are business partners. I don't pay him he's not my employee. And I want him to take the risk when I take the risk. So, and I pay him a pretty high percentage because I kind of don't want him to be anybody else's manager.
It's worth it. You're like, no, we work together. Having a strong team is critical.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely critical. And I think it's also fair. I think in law, we say a little bit, eat what you kill, but I think it goes for a lot of industries. Like whatever you bring into the table, it's fair that you get a percentage of what we're doing together. I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah. I mean, if you come in and I mean, he's creative, we'll talk about deals. We talk about the structure of them. I'm not a sideline guy when it comes to negotiating contracts. I'd like to get right in. I'm not a lawyer, but
you missed a second calling.
Oh, you just tell me, all you have to do is translate the multi-syllable jargon. And once I understand that, I'm like, no, yes, yes, no, yes, 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 no, 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 you know, and that's how I do it.
You're like, what are they burying behind all those words? And
it's
what?
Always something.
It is one of my first YouTube lives when I started taking the legal stuff I was doing on the podcast onto YouTube was when Kanye West was putting out all of his music industry contracts on Twitter because he was fighting with his label. And I didn't work in the music industry. I worked mostly in criminal law. I was fascinated by what was in those contracts and that he had no opt-out. And this is not uncommon for artists. We've seen Kesha get into lawsuits over this as well, that if the label wants you to put out more albums, they don't have to ask you. They just get to force sign you for more work, which is part of what Prince was fighting over too, is in these contracts buried in it. If it's a 3-album deal and they get a 2-album extension, you don't get asked if you want to continue working with them.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Prince signed his deal prior to Warner turning into WEA.
I think so too.
Yeah. And they were really big then. That's when he got pissed off. He knew that, you know, I remember when MP3s were just starting and the whole industry was like, yeah, they was terrified. They're like, what the hell's going on here? I was present for a phone call. I'm not going to say the name, but pretty big shot guy was trying to impress some artists sitting around a table, and he called Apple and he goes, we're going to need you to pull Madonna down. We're going to need you to pull Prince down. We're going to need you to pull Sir Mix-a-Lot, everybody on that, in that ecosystem. And she got off the phone. You could tell she was probably 20. She got off the phone, came back and said, okay, sir, that's done. Anything else? I was like, oh, shit. I knew right then the industry just, she didn't give 2 flying fucks. She didn't care.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, we got more. We got you two over here waiting to get in. So I mean, it was that scary.
We're going to take you two and we're going to put it on everything, whether you want it or not.
Whether you want it or not. Yeah. So you might as well come get some money for it.
Exactly. Know? And I remember when Apple was renegotiating Apple Music, when Taylor Swift kind of put her foot down on her music and said, no, until we do this streaming deal, you're not getting my music until you do this for everybody. And it's really impressive and unique to see an artist put their foot down, not just for themselves, but for everyone, and use the power they have in that moment to make the industry better for all artists, which I think was so interesting because I don't know if anybody knew what re-recording rights were before, that weren't in the industry before she started re-recording her albums. What do you think about re-recording rights and how that's changed now? I imagine labels now are like, not a chance do you get re-recording rights.
You know, that's true, actually. I have re-record rights.
How much control does that give you in the conversations you have because you have re-record rights?
I'll give an example. So I was doing nothing. And I get a phone call from a little company called General Mills. Right. So General Mills,
almost a national company. No big.
Yeah. It's a big old giant company. Right. But they wanted to do an ad campaign, which this was just last year. It was interesting because I didn't have to ask anybody.
Right.
I didn't have to ask anybody. I just told Universal. I mean, Universal's getting a cut anyway. Right. But Universal, everybody goes, why don't you leave? Your contract's been up. I'm like, yeah, but our contract reverted. The royalty rate switched.
Right.
When it expired. So yeah, that's crazy.
I think it puts you in such a unique position to have control, not only over your music, but over your legacy and your own trajectory when you don't have to go to your label and ask, but also when they can't approve those things without asking you.
And I love it. I love it. And what's funny is I'm not being an asshole when I walk in there though, because I don't have to. Right. I say, hey, what do you guys think? And it's teamwork. And so when I say this, I don't want artists thinking, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell all them motherfuckers, get out my goddamn way. No.
Sometimes you need to tell all them motherfuckers to get out your goddamn way. Sometimes it does need to happen.
But, you know, if they put it, here's what Universal doesn't have to deal with me. I'm not asking for $1 million advance every year. I'm not asking for $2 million. I'm not asking for $10 million. I mean, I am to the point now where my masters are coming up and stuff like that. But if they don't want them, somebody will. You know, I don't think I want to sell them though. I want to stay. I got a feeling if I sell them, then I'm going to have to stick my head in the dirt on some of the stuff that's going to happen.
What's your concern if you sell your masters? Because I've seen a lot of artists recently selling their full master catalogs.
Yeah.
What's the concern?
It's going to get hoarded out. That's my fear. And that I got from Prince. And it's like, you know, I don't mind me whoring it out.
I get to choose how what I created is sold. You do not get to sell me.
Exactly. You're right on the money. And that concerns me. And so we've been looking at is the structure of the deals. We want to change a few things. We don't just want buy my masters. They want my sync rights. I'm like, I'm not giving them my sync rights.
I don't know if our audience knows what sync rights are, if you don't mind giving us a quick.
Well, you know, when you're doing commercials and stuff like the General Mills campaign, you know, I have re-record rights, which is something that my manager thought of from day one. I didn't even know what it meant. Thank God he did it too. I had re-record rights. So I re-recorded Baby Got Back for General Mills, right? His Baby Got Snacks or something like that.
Baby Got Snacks is A, the best ever, and B, I think that needs to be my rap nickname because snacks are my favorite.
Yeah, well, I can show you mine right now. Yeah, I love
strawberries. Snacks to the podcast. I'm here for all of it. But having a manager in the industry that knew to ask for re-record rights so that as you were doing deals with large brands, you had the ability to say, I can just record this fresh and I don't need anybody's permission. That's an incredible thing.
Yeah, they'll go pay somebody 30, 40 grand to do a horrible version. I'm like, well, I got the real one. You know, and I'm in my studio right now. I got a full studio, not a baby studio. It's not a bedroom studio.
I have a baby studio, definitely. Yeah.
You know, baby studios make more money. You know how much money I spend in here? It has nothing to do with a project. I just go, I always wanted to hear what that thing sounded like. Here's 10 grand, you know, got to quit doing that.
That sounds kind of incredible though. I mean, though I update my tech, it's not like that. Because that YouTube game is a little bit different. You sound amazing though. So you've got all of the equipment to sound absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, incredible.
But you know what? My social media game is garbage. And it's funny because I say stuff and people go, dude, why don't you say that online? You don't, you know, but I don't know what it is. It's not like I'm scared of it either. I don't know what it is. I guess I should start posting more.
I mean, people want to hear what you have to say, and why not? But as we were talking about Baby Got Snacks and having the right to do work with General Mills, have you had your songs used in things on TikTok that people are using as ads without getting licensing rights from you?
Most likely. I mean, TikTok is like, talk about the Wild West. Whew. I mean, that's an understatement. But at the same time, TikTok... And, you know, I gotta say this. It's making artists who could never get noticed, get noticed. They're getting noticed. And they're not making money from it. And that scares me. because they're going to be used to not making money.
Right.
They're going to look for ad revenue as opposed to being actually compensated for your work.
Yeah, you shouldn't be compensated on your music, your lyrics, your performance with AdSense. I get compensated with AdSense. Like, you don't want to be an influencer that sings. You want to be a musical artist.
You ain't fooling me. All you got to do is try a few cases. Come on now. Cut that out. Cut that out.
I know who you are. You cannot make me go back to a courtroom. They require me not to curse and like to show up early in the morning. I love getting to do this. I think broadcasting was always the call, but it's a lot of fun. It's much more fun. It's much more fun doing the commentary and the court casting than, you know, playing the game on the field anymore. It's good.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think you're right. Because I said I was going to stop doing concerts, but I didn't.
Why did you say you were going to stop doing concerts?
I don't know. I just, you know, because I drive. I don't fly, right? But now that I haven't done it for about a year, now I'm itching to do it.
You miss
I can't
it.
Wait. Yeah, I can't wait.
Do you think AI and the rise of AI is going to impact live music?
Yes. Maybe not the main artist. Maybe not the focal point, right? Well, it won't be AI. It'll just be another person. They'll have different people playing music. They won't have to pay a band. I mean, they might not have to, especially with rap, because it's usually just backing tracks.
Right.
Right. So you don't need a DJ if you don't want one. I like the DJ. I like people running around on the stage.
It's part of the experience.
Yes, it is.
I went to an artist who I love, who lives in your neck of the woods, Dave Matthews, because I'm a basic 90s bitch and love it. But I went to his show for the Super Bowl last year in Arizona, and Flavor Flav came out before Dave Matthews. And I was like, I never thought these worlds would cross.
That's a combination right there.
It was absolutely incredible. And it was really fun getting to see Flavor Flav run around the stage. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. My 90s heart is so happy. But when we look at what Universal's fighting with TikTok over, part of it is AI and AI performance. Is there a world where if Universal or any other label owns name, image, likeness, and recording rights, they can just generate an artist to record and not need the actual artist?
This is why I wish more artists would talk, because especially legacy acts, and say, hey, once you sell that likeness, you're worthless, period. If somebody else owns your likeness and you're publishing, you know, well, get a broom, you know.
They don't need
to be using it. Yep.
We saw this in movies, and we even saw this, was it a Tupac Coachella performance where they hologrammed him into a live performance?
Yes, yeah.
So if they own your name, image, likeness, and recording, they could just do a hologram performance. Yeah.
That's what I'm scared of. I'm not grumpy. I'm not the grumpy old guy. You know, I can
be grumpy.
I could deal with AI. Let's just say somebody is a shy person.
Mm-hmm.
They're super creative. They can create something, a person, through AI, but it's still them. They're just shy.
Right. Which is more like an avatar. It's not right. Replacing the human. It's giving you,
representative.
The way that like Marshmello wears a mask on stage and there's, right. You know, faceless YouTubers. I think getting to be an avatar is a little bit different than an artist who all of a sudden is being digitally recreated by their label without needing them into, you know, your Apple virtual live concert with your virtual reality headsets. You know,
exactly. And that, if that's what it turns to, God, I mean, I hate to see a generation of kids grow up not knowing what a live show is.
I absolutely agree. Unfortunately, I cover a lot of the Ticketmaster cases that are going on. Ticketmaster has also made live music difficult to access. But do you think a lot of the music discovery happening on TikTok is a good thing for artists, aside from worrying that they're not seeing their value as artists and getting paid for their music?
I think it's great for the fans, but I think it's bad for the artists initially. I mean, eventually, because what TikTok and what the record labels are doing to it, not all of them, but some of them, they're bringing you in, blowing you up, and then paying you this.
Right.
Right? So when you think, well, that's what Mix-a-Lot got. That's probably what Prince had too. They were all lying. No, they're not. And if you fall for the okey-doke, you know, you probably will have a job and be touring. That, I mean, you probably have to work two jobs just to survive. You know,
that would not be ideal.
And you'd be a platinum act.
And that can happen. I think that's what, I don't know if that's what Universal's fighting for. That's what they say they're fighting for with TikTok, is fair rates for artists. To be completely fair on both sides of that conversation, though, when artists get paid more, Universal
exactly
also gets paid more.
Exactly. So, I like Universal. Like I said, been a great partner, but nobody's stupid. I mean, yeah, they want to make money too. I mean, everybody does.
When everyone's money aligns, they're very easily and comfortably on the same side. Yep. So, and right now, the money for artists and Universal seems on one
place
side.
You want to be.
The money for TikTok's on the other side, because it's not like TikTok's not making money off of a platform that is a music discovery platform. I mean, there's music that my kid is coming to me with. He watches TikTok videos through Instagram, but there's music my kid's coming to with that is older music that is having these resurgences on TikTok because they're used in something that goes viral. And then you're starting to see them, those things trend. It happened to Fleetwood Mac. I don't even know how much Fleetwood Mac got paid off of their music starting to trend again, aside from it pulling that music up in the charts. And they might have gotten paid because they got into this industry at a time when they were getting paid when their music was charting and getting paid for their streaming rights, which new artists don't seem to be getting paid that same way. So if a new artist goes viral, are they making money?
And that's the thing, because they're not going to get us. They're not going to get me to, hey, can you take the money the kids are taking? No, no. Not but you're right. A new act, they don't know. They don't know old Mix-a-Lot. That old fart guy, yeah, he's lying his ass off. He didn't make any money. He's broke, you know. And that's the scary part, is that, you know, my dad was a sheet metal worker and I thought he was rich. I really did. I said, man, that's a lot of money. I mean, he was making $27 an hour in the early 70s.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. You know, so I'm like, damn, that's what I want to do. He said, no, you don't. He said, no, you don't. He said, it's got to be vertical. Got to keep going up. So that's what I ended up doing, I think.
I think so, too. Thank you to today's sponsor, Shopify. Have you started selling stuff yet? No? Shopify makes it so easy. I literally started the Law Nerd Shop at like 3 a.m. on the phone with a friend. They have ready-to-go templates, and you can plug it into any distribution system. And right now, we have Shopify plugged in to multiple distribution channels. So whether you're ordering a mug from the Law Nerd Shop or our limited edition, almost gone, custom matte black tumblers, those are coming from different distribution, but you would never know it because Shopify makes it so easy, both for you and for me. It's no wonder that companies like Rothy's and Brooklinen power their online shop through Shopify. I mean, I guess it's not a huge surprise because Shopify does power 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And they have the best converting checkout. They're flexible, so you can use Shopify for just e-commerce, or if you have physical locations with their award-winning customer service, you know you're never going to be left hanging trying to figure out what to do next. It's no wonder that businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. So why don't you give it a try? They've offered Emily Show listeners a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lawnerd. Remember, that's all lowercase. shopify.com/lawnerd for your $1 per month trial period. And you're going to start making sales and hearing this sound real soon. Let's get back to today's episode. What would you want younger artists that are looking to just blow up on TikTok to know? Because when I look at creators and younger creators, they're like, but if I have this many followers, I'm like, are you getting paid for having that many followers? Right. Like exposure, you can't go to Publix and grab food with exposure. Like that doesn't, you can have millions of followers and not be making any money on social media.
I mean, how many times have I heard, please click the bell down below. You know, and I feel bad because that's become the norm.
Yep.
But you and I both know it doesn't have to be.
No.
If the artists stand for something, and Taylor Swift proved it. If you stand for something, it works. If you don't, you'll fall for anything.
She has absolutely put her foot down on the music industry a few times. And it takes I think, an artist that is that. But she also started to grow in an early social media time and was popular enough by the time the streaming rights and stuff were coming around that she was able to put her foot down. Can newer artists does that? Like when Universal pulls all of their Universal artists off of TikTok, it's not just you and Taylor Swift, but it's also up and coming artists. Is that harder for them then? Because you're going to be good, but is that harder for them? I mean, everyone knows who Sir Mix-a-Lot is.
Much harder for them. And the problem is your baby, which is the songs, your baby's been yanked away from you and the followers. You have no right to put it back up. You can't do it. And that's pretty sad when you think about it.
That the artists are the ones who are losing choice here.
Right, right. And I think that artists should really give it some thought before you sign with a major. As a matter of fact, before you sign with anybody. Make sure you know what you're getting into, and make sure, more importantly, you know what you're giving up. You're going to give up something to mess with a major. You know, hopefully it's like me. I just give up a certain split and that's it.
You're like, we can share money.
Yeah, once I recouped, you know, sometimes when people recoup, they want more than one another advance. That's an addiction. That's like, I need some more cocaine. No, that's not. Like
gambling with somebody else's money, but it's going to come back and get you at the end.
Yep. Because that last record doesn't break even, but your old stuff is still hitting. They're still selling that, you know? So even with these master deals, I'm learning that there's a lot of murky stuff going on. It's not, oh, here are your, like, they're going to give you a bunch of plates. Here you go.
Here's your masters.
Yeah, here's your masters. And okay, I tell you what, we'll give you $100 million for them. If you think that's the norm, you're going to be sadly disappointed if you try to get one of those deals. Those deals are going away pretty quickly. And they're usually a group of business people that don't know anything about the music business.
So what they're going to do when they buy your masters is sell it to every movie, commercial, worldwide. They're going to leverage it like an asset and rent it out like a rental property because the integrity of the music is not what they're doing. They're using it like a crypto turn on investment.
It's leverage. That's it. That's all it is. And that's what I'm worried about. It's like, you know, Baby Got Back was not about butts, right? But if I let
my heart like that,
Universal won't do it because Universal, I've been pretty good partners with those guys. I have no problem with them really, but I do understand why some people do, why a lot of people do. So I don't argue with them. But I think if it weren't for me being how I am, do you know how many offers I got to license Baby Got Back for something ridiculous? I'm talking about something stupid, like. I saw this thing, there's this company I can't stand that is in business with Universal, and I can't stand them.
You're like, this company is a no for me.
Yeah, it's a merchandise company. They know who they are. Anyway,
who Sir Mix-a-Lot has beef with knows who they are. That's appropriate. They should.
They put out this damn bear. It's not my voice, not my song. I mean, it's not my master. And the bear is booty dancing and saying, I like big butts. And I can't, I'm like, oh my God. The guy sounds like this. I like big butts and I cannot lie. He's like, I'm like, oh my God, man. This dude had no slang if it saved his life. But I had to, you know, I had to swallow it. Then they go, well, you only owe us X amount of dollars from the advance. I'm like, why don't I just pay you off?
Yep.
And you can have the money. Don't put anything else out and stop.
Yeah.
That's how you find out when somebody's making money. When you say, I'll give you what I owe you, just stop. And they go, well, no.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to stop is the thing because we're making more than
you. We're making more than we're telling you. Yeah.
This just happened with a toy called the Poopsie Slime Surprise. It went to court over my humps. From the Black Eyed Peas, and they had taken my humps and changed it into my poops. It was a pooping unicorn. They did a whole music video about it with no permission at all. And it wasn't the label selling it out. it was them going, we're going to sell all these toys. So when you hit the toy, it sings the my poops, my poops, my poops, with no permission from the label, no permission from the band. And the lawsuit ended up settling. I'm not surprised, but I imagine for whatever sum of money changed hands. But I imagine as an artist, you're like, this is like what we didn't sign on for was a rainbow pooping unicorn singing our song. That's not what we had in mind.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of wouldn't. Yeah. I didn't read that part of the book. My goodness. Wow. Yeah. I've had some funny ones. I've had some I've done that I shouldn't have done, but not really, not as many as I had done to me. Boy, I swear I didn't know anything about licensing initially. And people didn't call me for licensing. They only do that when you're like classic.
Are code we word for old. Now from the 90s? Code word for old. We're retro. Yeah. It's retro now. One of the questions I got from our Lawnard community, because I let our members submit questions, they had a couple questions about the industry in general, if you don't mind answering. Creek asked, how has the music industry changed over the years with more and more streaming service being available? And how did that impact artists getting paid for their music?
It's changed a lot. I mean, it's changed for the better. I'll start there. In that we're a lot closer to the money we make, meaning we understand it a lot better. Whereas if you look at royalties back in the day, if you went on tour and they bought a flight, let's say they paid $2,000 in flights, not only did they take that back, they would take more and tell you it was for something else that didn't even happen. It just, you'd look at the royalty statements, you'd be like, what the fuck is this? You don't even know what it is.
They're like 75 minutes on the phone. Here's the phone bill. Here's the copies. Here's the flights. Here's the food. Here's our time for booking the flights.
But I will say, as much as I would like to be the grumpy old man and say things have gotten worse, and they have, but I do think there is something to be said for especially somebody like Universal, who a lot of people think they're just going to fighting for their money. No, they're not just fighting for their money, because they know if their artists don't get paid, their artists will go independent.
Right.
That's what everybody's doing now. And so they do go to bat for us. I will say that.
And I think there's something to be said for protecting an artist like yourself, like the Black Eyed Peas, from having their music and their brand devalued by unauthorized licensing, unauthorized use, unauthorized performances. Because how else do you protect the integrity of the brand and the music if it's just everywhere? Because that's not good for the artist. And it seems that that's not good for the label either, because then the artist isn't making money.
Scarcity is a good thing sometimes. You know, I backed off on touring. My price went up. That's just basic economics.
Supply.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, but I don't, plus I'm too old. I'm getting too old to be touring. I'm still moving around, but come on, man.
I imagine it's exhausting.
Yeah. It, you know what? I think it's exhausting to me because I don't fly. I drive. But the drive doesn't seem to bother me. It seems like when I get there, I'm like, why did I stop here? You know, but you got to do a show.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when we talked briefly about how artists are perceiving the fight with Universal and having their music taken down, you said you've seen other artists, younger artists, being frustrated about it. Is that because it kills the discovery? Is TikTok where people are discovering new music?
Yeah, some of them are. I mean, some of them are, especially really young ones. Mm-hmm. That's scary. I mean, they're not checking for me, but they're trying to find new music. And it's like, interesting. I don't know what's going on or how they're, if they only consume it in TikTok, who cares about Universal at that point?
Right. Which I imagine becomes an issue for the labels, because if the artist is getting paid directly by TikTok and they're independent, where do the labels fall when the artist can go direct to the streaming services themselves and say, this is the deal I'll take, and they do their own distribution rights?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's that leave the labels? I mean, the labels are like, oh, well, we get you discovered. No, you're not. TikTok is getting you discovered. Oh, we'll get you played on the radio. No, you won't. If it gets discovered on TikTok, they're going to put it on the radio.
Well, kids are like, what's radio?
Yeah, kids aren't listening to the radio anymore anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Only sports radio. That's all I listen to.
which is where the value is in the commentary. But I can see where the labels are also scared, because if you can use your computer to produce your music, you can buy a mic for $100. If that song goes viral on TikTok, you now own all of the parts of it without a label ever being involved.
Yeah. And that's why I think that, let's just assume that Universal means what they say when they say they're siding with the artists. That would be, if I were running one of these mega companies, that's what I would do. I would say, hey, you guys, bring it in. We gotta side with the artists or we're over. And that they can leverage that weight and make things happen. Whereas artists, we're gonna be scattered all over the place, trying to figure out which way to go, you know.
Yeah, independently, artists don't have the same leverage to fix some of these problems. Cause again, I'm most familiar with the YouTube platform and the YouTube copyright system. If there's copyrighted music on YouTube, if you're playing it in a stream, YouTube will take it down immediately. The music matching is 10 out of 10, and the labels all have their connection to YouTube, so they can just go in the back end, push a button, and do takedowns of stuff that's using their music or their properties, television, right, movie, the same way. TikTok doesn't have any of those protections. The labels can't just go in and be like, scroll for every use of Baby Got Back and take it down, because a lot of those uses are just using the video or making a video with background music. So it's the purpose of the platform. So then taking down the problematic uses become much harder.
Yep.
They're not doing it.
Well said. Well said. I like I said, it would be really interesting to be in a meeting at one of these big labels, because they're going to align with the artists. They're going to have to.
I think so too.
They're going to have to. And to attract young artists, though, that's your point. And I see that's going to be difficult, because if they grow up in that TikTok world, you know, you may offer them money and they may be getting more than that already.
Right.
I mean, you never know.
I got a guitar. What do I need you for? Because again, the labels were the gatekeepers to the music industry for so long. And that's not true anymore. People can go direct to consumer.
Yep. Yeah, they can. I heard a guy, I don't know if he's lying or not. I heard a guy the other day, and I don't think he's an artist. I think he's like a comedian or something. And they said he's made up to $20 million. And he said primarily in Facebook. He was on a Roland Martin's show. I'm like, Facebook? Interesting.
Facebook has been paying lately a lot for video.
That's what he said.
Over and over again about Facebook. And creators kind of moved off of Facebook, and which is why Facebook is paying more, because now we're back to scarcity. Facebook's like, wait, we need content too. Come back.
Yeah, exactly.
So they will pay to bring it back because, you know, Meta has quite a bit of money. I wonder how much your positive experience has been shaped by having really good counsel early on, so that you guys are in a better balanced business relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is why. And that's why you don't hear me running around telling kids, hey, come on with us at Universal. No. I'm not that stupid. I think we went through some rough stuff. And then when our deal expired with Universal, we renegotiated. And the way we do business with them is like business partners, like especially with licensing. They could call us directly on the phone. None of this sending you faxes and emails or whatever they used to do. No, they just call, hey, man, you interested in this deal? Let us know.
That's so much easier to deal with, to just have a conversation with the people on the other side. At the end of the day, what would you hope for new artists that they would know that you wish you knew when you got started, so they know what to look out for?
First thing I say is artists, and this started a long time ago, before I was even in music, before I was born. Artists have a tendency, and they should, because that's what makes them artists. I won't say they don't value their work, but they think that valuing the work somehow cheapens them as an artist. That's not the case. There's a reason James Brown had a radio station and an airplane, you know. And it wasn't just luxuries. He could play whoever he wanted. He could help other artists. So I wish that artists would learn fame does bring riches, but that doesn't mean because you have riches that you're somehow shallow all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, I've seen people leverage their money, and that's what it's all about. If you can do what Taylor Swift did, I think it was last couple of Christmases ago, when she bought all the truck drivers, gave them all something for help.
On the tour, she gave massive bonuses on her tour.
Yes. And to see those guys like crying, talking about it. You know what I mean? That's how you leverage fame and stardom, to me.
you take care of your people. And I think as an artist, she's particularly interesting because when she's been negotiating deals, she's been negotiating with more people in mind. I wonder when Taylor's just going to start a label. Like, she is so pissed about the way her masters got sold. I am ready for petty Taylor to just be like, who's coming with me? Like the Jerry Maguire moment. You know what? I'll do this myself. I don't need you anymore. I'll just do it myself. Well, her re-records, she's really done that by throwing the value to the re-records and undercutting the value of the original works. Her story is so compelling that her audience is behind it. They're like, yeah, fuck that guy who sold your masters. We're with you.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, wow. And she did, went on Saturday Night Live and did a song that was like 2 hours long or something. And it just blew up. And I'm proud of her. I really am. And I love the fact that she's doing exactly what I'm talking about. She leverages, you know, her fame. So it's not just look at my dress, look at my money, look at my car. She's doing something with it that's good. And I like that. You know?
She did that, I think, with the Spotify deals as well, talking about the streaming rights on Spotify when she was renegotiating streaming there because there's so many platforms to negotiate with. It's a pretty incredible thing. I've seen her fans taking on Ticketmaster. We'll see if she does anything directly with Ticketmaster and how difficult and the Live Nation Ticketmaster difficulties with these huge stadium shows and the way they get sold. It'll be
and how dangerous they can be too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those lawsuits pan out. And I think that's when we look at where people are trying to leverage virtual music, I think personal safety is always a concern. Is there anything else you would love to share with the Law Nerds or tell them particularly where they can find you so they can now be like, Sir Mix-a-Lot, we love you. We want to see you on socials more. I mean, maybe not TikTok because they won't let you use your own music, but Instagram still will. You have a YouTube channel with all your music on it.
I might do some acapellas on TikTok.
That would be amazing.
I'd do them. I'd probably walk in with a cane and an old white mustache and be shaking it.
TikTok.
And then start spitting real fast. You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, oh shit.
Okay, y'all, go follow Sir Mix-a-Lot on TikTok. Wait, do you have a TikTok already?
Yeah, I do.
Of course you do. Go follow Sir Mix-a-Lot on TikTok and wait for him to go viral with the comedy and all over social media. Anything else that you have coming up? I mean, it sounds like you're itching to go on tour, so we're gonna have to come out.
I'm gonna do a few this year. The numbers during COVID were pitiful, but yeah. we had a problem here in Seattle where a bunch of the smaller clubs had to close down. We started a big giant group of rich folks got together and started saving clubs, and we called it Keep Music Live, and we kept about 78% of the ones that we reached out. Tours, we kept them in business. So it was pretty cool.
Incredible. It's lovely. I started law school at Seattle U. I love the Pacific Northwest. It really is absolutely incredible. That's a really incredible thing when you're talking about being able to impact really positive change when you value your own worth. That's a pretty incredible thing to keep that many clubs alive and to give people a place to go see live music.
That's where I came from. I mean, there is no artist. Well, you know Seattle. There is no artist that left here that didn't play in those little raunchy clubs, you know? Nope. And when you got to the show box, you thought you were a millionaire, you know? For me not to give back would have been stupid.
It's a very cool thing. Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for the insights. Thank you for the thoughts. And thank you for being here. Any parting words?
Yes. I want to tell all y'all listening to us talk, there's nothing wrong with making a dollar. It's your money. It's your song. Value your work and you'll be fine. Doesn't mean you got to be greedy. You can take it and give it to a charity, whatever you want to do. But don't let people tell you your music is worthless, because that's kind of a theme I'm starting to hear.
Music is absolutely not worthless. And I think when you value yourself, it's easy to value your work. No one can do it but you. And that's a really powerful reminder to artists, even though it can feel very hard. But if all the artists put their foot down and are saying, no, there's value to this, there's value to live music. Humanity needs the arts and we need the artists. And at the end of the day, I hope that we don't allow technology to obliterate that. There's nothing like live music. There's nothing like being at a show where you can feel the bass in your lungs.
Yes.
There's nothing like it in the world. And we can't lose that experience.
Yeah. By the way.
Yes.
You.
What I do.
You know, I'm not what you did. Nothing wrong. I listened to the whole, whatever that trial was, like, what, about a year and a half ago?
Johnny Depp.
Every day. You're addicting. I'm telling you. They ought to call you cocaine.
Oh. I don't know. I live in Tennessee. They'll put me in jail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that's a good job. I never thought I would enjoy listening to something like that. And I really did.
Well, after sitting through the court process yourself, that's a real uncomfortable place to be as a litigant when you're hearing people talk about your contracts and your licensing and your rights. It's got to be wild watching two mega celebrities going through something you've personally experienced.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I went to court one time, scared the hell out of me. I was just a kid too. I was terrified.
It can be very scary. I always hope that talking through court makes it less scary for those that are going through it. And they feel like they have some understanding of the language. Lawyers can really use the courtrooms to scare people, the language of law to scare people and to keep people out. But it's a system that's made to right wrongs for all of us. It's not meant to keep people out. And I try to make that more accessible through really watching trials with people, because lawyers are humans. They mess up. I had a case that I was covering where the entire lawsuit, the lawyer had let autocorrect change Kevin Hart's name to Kevin Hard. So the entire legal document, he's called Kevin Hard. And I'm like, you guys, lawyers are human. Like, this lawyer has called Kevin Hart Kevin Hard for an entire legal filing that a judge is going to read.
Guess he doesn't know Kevin too well.
Guess not. Somebody should send that lawsuit to Kevin. And it's not a lawsuit involving him. It was talking about him not really being a spokesperson for some social media thing. And they were lying about him being a spokesperson for it, spelling his name wrong the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was not in the lawsuit, but it was pretty funny. But it's court casting is really fun. I'm surprised that I get to do it. Thank you for watching the trial with me and for being a law nerd. It's a really cool community.
That was addicting. I was like, wow. Cause you were translating for us. And I knew what stuff meant based on, oh, that's what they meant when they said this. You know, lawyers talk slick.
Yeah, they do.
And they don't change cadence. So you can't even tell what mood they're in, you know?
They don't. I mean, and that's the difference with music is it does change cadence. I mean, but you talk pretty slick too. I have tried to karaoke Baby Got Back. It moves fast and it is a long song. If you do not have the breath.
Nowadays, 335 is long.
You're going to run out of air midway through. It's not easy. I've tried.
It's different. Yeah, long song. 335 is long now. Wow.
It is. Everything on social media is 60 seconds.
That's right. That's why I'm going to do some acapellas.
The audience will kill me if I don't say it is, in fact, long, strong, and down to get the friction on. And I couldn't just leave that hanging. So, you know,
yeah,
we had to say all the things. Thank you so much for joining us.
I like a friend of mine.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we will have the Law Nerds following you all over social and coming to see you when you are live, because live music is everything.
Right. Thank you. See me around.
You can stay up to date with everything I'm covering on our free iOS and Android app at lawnerdapp.com, or search your app store for Law Nerd. And you can also follow me on social media at The Emily D. Baker. Remember, I stream on YouTube on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I recap all of that for you in quick bits on Monday. And of course, The Emily Show drops on Wednesdays. Thanks for being a Law Nerd.